Dry Bones. I know this audience, and I am not here to tell you anything new this morning. Most of you, I'm the youngest person in this room, which means that most of you guys are very versed in the Word of God, way more versed than I am. But what I am here to do is release what God has given to me, and I believe that He wants to remind us about what we already know and is sharpen us to sing back. And I believe that we have a window of time in 26 nations in the last year and a half. I can tell you I have never seen such an openness and a receptiveness to the gospel as I have seen in the past year and a half. God has given us a window of time where it is open to proclaim the gospel, where we are able to see people taken from death to life. But we have got to step into what God has asked us to do individually in order to claim the territory that God has given to us. And the Holy Spirit said this to me a couple of weeks ago. He said, you are not in the enemy's territory. The enemy is in yours. He said, there is a difference between authority. If you are in somebody else's territory, they have the upper hand. When they're in your territory, you have the rights. We are not in the enemy's territory. He's in ours. We saw that this morning. The enemy is in our territory, and when we step into our authority, we are taking back what we have relinquished. Ezekiel 37. I'm big on reading the word, so if you just bear with me, we're just going to dive into the word of God this morning. This says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass them by all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy, speak to these bones and say to them, O Lord God, to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Ezekiel said, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. I want to tell you a quick story. The name of my ministry is Breathe Life International, but in 2017 and 2018, my background is as a nurse. I was practicing as a neonatal nurse practitioner. I had started a hospital ministry in the Dominican Republic, and honestly, I thought that's what I was going to do forever. I was back in school for my doctorate degree as a neonatal nurse practitioner. That's what I was focused on. So I'm in the Dominican Republic in 2018. I'd spent 3 months there. And at the end of the 3 months, something happened that changed the trajectory of my entire life. As I'm sitting in the hospital that day in the small little room, I hear this commotion going on outside. I have nothing to give. I am done. I am hiding from people. That was me in like the back room. I'm like, I'm not going out there, Lord. And the Lord's like, go out there, Victoria. And so I finally make my way out of the room. And as I do, this nurse comes running around the corner. And I look down into her hands, and it was a dead, lifeless baby girl. And as I looked at her hands, I told her, I said, lay the baby down. Let me listen for a heartbeat. And so as I listened for a heartbeat, I heard nothing. And I thought, maybe I just didn't hear it. Let me listen again. And by this time, the room was full of so many people waiting for the American to do something. And as I listened for a heartbeat again, and I'm assessing her cold body, I realized that she had been dead for at least a couple of hours as her neck muscles had become to get stiff already. And so in that moment, I stopped what I was doing and I said, God, there's nothing I can do. This baby is dead. And the Holy Spirit immediately spoke to me and he said, Victoria, I know you can't, but I can. And immediately she came back to life and started breathing. And so I get to share the gospel. Everybody in the room knew it was a miracle. I get to share the gospel with the entire room. Everybody gives their life to Jesus. They go in, they get the parents. The parents come in. They give their life to Jesus. They're like, we're dedicating her to the Lord. And I get to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ that breathes life into what is dead. Yeah. And so immediately after that happens, I go home that evening. And it's so funny because there was a team that had been staying at where I was at, and it's a cessationist Baptist team. And everybody at this point has heard about the baby being raised from the dead, you know? Like, it was just so funny. The Lord has a sense of humor. I love my Baptist friends. And so we're sitting at the table, and I'm telling them, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he says, Victor. And I knew in that moment, as he took me to Ezekiel 37, but I knew in that moment that he was talking about the church and the lost. I believe wholeheartedly that the Lord wants to come and breathe his life into what is dead. But in order for that to happen, we have a role to play. And specific to us today, I feel like the Lord highlighted a couple of things as our role in this region specifically that the Lord has asked of us to step into and to be a little more bold about, if you will. Because I believe that in order to see the breath of God breathe into the Nashville area, we need to start proclaiming the word of God. We need to start prophesying the word of God. What does that mean? It just means to speak it out. We need to stand on the word of God because I cannot tell you how many conversations I have had in the last couple weeks that is so concerning that I'm like, church, what are we doing? We have got to wake up because there's so much confusion. There is so much darkness trying to creep in. And mixture trying to intermingle with the church, that it's an abomination to the Lord. God is coming back for a pure and a spotless bride, not a bride in adultery. This is message I remind myself of. Like, I'm not just preaching. I know I'm passionate. I'm not yelling at you. I am so passionate about this, but the Lord is speaking this to me just as much as he's speaking it to all of you in this room. So I'm not preaching at you. The Lord's preaching to all of us this morning. Ezekiel says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. Now, I want us quickly to go over to 1 John chapter 5. And in chapter 5, starting at verse 2, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Now, I know the commandments that it's referring to, but as I was reading this verse, I felt the Holy Spirit say, no, I have commanded you to open your mouth and to prophesy. What are we prophesying? The word of God. We're prophesying this back out into the atmosphere, back out into the spirit realm, so that we can see God's kingdom come and his will be done. When we prophesy the word of God, we're prophesying Jesus, because Jesus is the word. And so as I was reading this, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. When God gives a command to us and we obey quickly and we quickly respond to what he is asking us to do. And I'm speaking right now specifically in my mind. I have a picture of our words. Why? Because our words hold the power of life and death. And we will give an account for every word that was spoken and every idle word. And I think about Ezekiel prophesying to bones. God says, Ezekiel, look at these bones. Now prophesy to them. Like, consider for a minute prophesying to actual bone. Thought even of, is this even going to do anything? Am I willing to step out and to do this thing that it's going to be offensive to those that hear it or see it, because the word of God's offensive? And as I think about Ezekiel, I think about us. How often do we question what God has asked us to speak forth out of fear of stirring the pot, offending somebody, right? Like, I know every single one of us either has a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, a brother or sister in Christ that you go to church with, that there have been things that the Lord has been pressing on your heart. Like, hey, you should probably say something to them about this thing. You should probably call them higher than where they're at now. But there's a spirit of this age to say, that's not loving, that's condemnation. But as I read this word, I'm like, no. The word of God and his commandments are not burdensome. He speaks forth and he prophesies what he has called us to call us up higher. What God wants to do, I believe our city can be a catalyst, but it has to begin in the church. I believe that right now the Lord is putting his finger on sin and compromise. Not to condemn us, but because he's saying, church, there is a war going on. And if you do not make yourself ready for this battle, you are going to be one of the casualties. But God has not called us to be casualties in war. He's called us to be victorious in war. Victorious in apathy removes our armor. Right? I've kind of like drifted from where I was going, but the Lord brought me. It's so fun. I know you guys know this, like writing messages with the Lord, because he takes you to all kinds of places and you're like, wow, I did not see how that was all going to come together. But in Revelation chapter 2, we have Jesus speaking to the churches. And there's two things that stood out to me. In another translation for both of these, in both of these churches, it uses the word tolerate. So first, the church of Pergamos. And Jesus is saying, like, I know your works, where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, but you've held fast to my name. You didn't deny me, but I have a few things against you. Because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam. And it says those who tolerate, because you tolerate those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat anything sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus, you also have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. They had tolerated this infiltration of compromise and sin in their midst. And so Jesus comes to them and is saying, yeah, you didn't deny me, but you allowed in a toleration of this doctrine. You allowed in a toleration of sin. Now, we see that in the church where now we have a, an accepting churches where they're accepting LGBTQ instead of calling what it is. And I'm just reminded, I'm like, oh, so grieved, but I'm reminded of Malachi 1 and 2. When Malachi came with a word to the people of Israel, because they were giving sacrifices to God that were not blameless. They were not pure sacrifices. And you know what the word that God gave to Malachi? He said, is there none among you that would shut this down? Is there none among you that would take a righteous stand and shut this down? That was a word to the Levites and the priests. That was a word to the house of God. Is there none among you that would shut this down? Is there none among you that would be willing to draw the lines in the sand, like Barbie was saying? There's lines being drawn in the sand, and we're going to have to become comfortable with being the ones that will draw the lines. Because the way is narrow. And if we're preaching a gospel in our churches and in our discipleship groups, in our houses, in our lives, if we are preaching a gospel that is broad, we are high-fiving them on their way to destruction. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is a narrow road. It's narrow. And I've heard this said, the further you go in your intimacy with the Lord, the less that you can take with you. Like, I don't know about you, but the more that I have fallen utterly in love with Jesus, the natural overflow of that has been my convictions. And so people may look at me and think, like, Victoria has really crazy convictions, and that's really legalistic. And I'm over here, like, basking in the love of the Lord because I'm like, no, you don't understand. When Jesus calls us higher and rids us of these things that are holding, like, the Bible says that if you know that you are not supposed to do it, then it's sin for you. And sin starts in the mind. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that if you lust in your heart, you have already committed adultery. If you have hated your brother, what's that? That's in your mind and in your heart. Then you've already committed murder. And so I'm going to say this, and like I may get some flack for this, but even with the LGBTQ community, we tell them that, you know what, you will struggle with these thoughts, but as long as you don't act on it, it's not sin. But can I take it a step higher and say, no. If you're struggling with these thoughts and you are not taking every single thought captive, that is sin. And the blood of Jesus paid the price to set you free. Not so that you still continue with these thoughts. That's the lustful thoughts of the flesh we are commanded to crucify. I believe that the Lord's raising back up a standard because he wants to breathe his life into the churches of Nashville and the church of Thyatira. We know this. We quote this all the time when we're talking about Jezebel. It says, nevertheless, I have a few things against you because you allow that woman Jezebel. Another translation says you tolerate that woman Jezebel who calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. Jesus is putting his finger on the toleration. And I believe that the Lord is wanting us to get back to preaching on sin and the power of repentance. Because if we want to see a move of God in the Spirit in Nashville, Tennessee, across America, every revival is the power of God to set us free from our sin and our shame and every stronghold of the devil in our lives. I recently had this conversation with somebody, and I'm like, when you see the deception, and you know when the Lord's speaking to you about something, like, it just is always right in front of your face. You're like, I cannot get away from this. God, what are you talking about? What? Like, what? Anybody else? Am I, like, the only person God does this to? Yes. And so recently I had this conversation with somebody who leads worship, how he believed that Allah and Yahweh were the same God. There's an Antichrist spirit that is alive. And I don't know if you noticed, but this week, New York City just got a Muslim mayor. I'm saying this because this is what our job is, to equip this next generation and the church to be able to walk through with clear minds and understanding, because they are coming up against the spirit of the age and they're confused. And they're confused because we are not teaching this in our churches, and we're not teaching them how to stand. We're trying to give them self-help messages and messages of God has a plan and a purpose for your life and a destiny for you to fulfill. And we're not teaching them how to walk as a soldier in an army where there's a spiritual battle taking place. And so in this conversation, I'm sharing with him, no. Allah and Yahweh are not the same God. And I explained it to him, and he literally says that. He's like, I've never thought about it like that. This morning, I opened up my Instagram, and immediately I have this post pops up. This is how I knew I was supposed to share it, because I was like, do I share that, Lord? This post pop, the first one on there, and it's this girl. Her name is Mari. And we shared the gospel with Muslims together, and she was on fire for Jesus, but I think she had wounds in her heart that she never dealt with, and so she was easily deceived. And so about 2 years ago, Mari became a Muslim. She was a Christian. She was so easily deceived because she didn't have deep roots or deep discipleship, that she was able to be taken away by the spirit of this age. And this morning, as I opened up my Instagram, she wrote a book called Seeking Jesus, Finding Allah, which is a play on the book Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus, which is a powerful book if you've never read it. But she wrote a book, and it's out today. And my heart was gripped. When I was in London a couple of years ago for 5 weeks, we did a crusade in London, and it's overtaken by Muslims. I did not even realize that. They let them in, and then they multiplied, and the church remained silent. The church didn't say anything when this Antichrist spirit was trying to infiltrate. The church took a back seat and is not even out there sharing the gospel with them, trying to get them to encounter the living God and sharing the truth with them. It's like they've cowered back in fear, and now they're waking up. Now they're waking up and saying, like, oh man, we're in trouble as a nation. And this is the same path that America is headed down if we do not start drawing lines in the sand and teaching our people how to draw those lines and why they are drawn. This week, that was two, three weeks ago that I had that conversation. And then this morning that this opened up. But yesterday, actually a week and a half ago, I'm 32 and I have way too much gray hair. The Lord calls it wisdom. I'm rebuking it though. and so I'm getting my hair done. I met this woman at a birthday party and says she's a Christian. Like, her daughter's interested in mission. She's like, she's at the Aveda hair school. She needs some more hours. Like, go see her. So I was like, okay, I'll go see her. Like, I'll talk to her. I'm sitting in the chair, and for the next 4 hours, I ask her, what's your testimony? How did you get saved? How did you encounter the Lord? And she tells me how her mom, who goes to a church in our area, a church that I would say to you, you would know it, and you would think that's a normal church, right? Like, they're preaching the truth. She goes to this church. She serves in this church. And she tells me her mom took her to this Christian guy out, it is either in California or Portland, that had them take mushrooms to have an encounter with God. Yes. And then she begins to tell me how her mom has been doing all of these things in order to experience the Lord. And it's all of this mixture with these new age practices. And the whole time I'm thinking, how does somebody who sits in a room, a massive room with thousands of believers gathered around them, every week serves, leads a Bible study, and has yet been seeped in so much deception, and not one person has said anything to her? Yesterday, I was thinking about this, and I was going to put up an Instagram story. And as I'm recording the Instagram story to put up, I get a text message from this girl that I've been discipling. And she's a teacher in Nashville, not far from here. She works at a charter school in Nashville. And she says, hey, Victoria, I'll read it to you. Because she didn't know what to say to them. Let's see. Drew. Hey, Victoria, I hope you're having a good teacher's do a sound bath. That's demonic, isn't it? I'm not even sure what it is. This is a new age practice that involves sound and frequencies to align chakras to essentially open yourself up to demons to have this experience. And so I responded back to her, and I'm like, yes, and I can help you write an exemption. But the teachers in our area that are in our churches, in our small groups, in our friend groups, these are the things that they are coming up against right now, and it's only going to get worse. A couple of weeks ago, I got on TikTok, and which is so dark. I really don't like TikTok. I got on there quickly to post a video, and a video popped up as soon as I hopped on, and it was alive, and it was a witch, and she was doing readings for people who would comment a number, any number, pick a number and comment it in her little comment box, and she was calling them out. And I begin to look at the people who were commenting, and they were all like 15, 16, 20 years old, young, hungry for the spiritual world, and deceived because they've never been taught or told that, yes, the spiritual world is real, and you were designed for it. You are spirit and body and soul. And so your spirit is longing for these things. But until we begin to prophesy the word of the Lord over this next generation and over our churches to hear the word of God and not be afraid to be the ones whose mouth it has to come out of, then they are going to continue to be taken out. But I believe wholeheartedly that he's looking to and fro and just saying, are you willing? Would you be willing to offend somebody with truth out of a place of love? Would you be willing to be the one to step up and to say something when nobody else wants to? Would you be the one willing to say the hard truths that are in this book? Because we like saying the easy ones, but we tend to shy away from the harder ones. And so I know I'm at my time, but would you guys just stand with me? Amen. I knew I was going to like this group. Hannah, can I get you to just play behind me for a second? You see, it says that when the Lord breathed his life into the dry bones, an exceedingly great army arose. Not a weak army, not an army with no muscle. No, it literally said the muscle was put on their bones and then the skin. I love that. God is raising up an exceedingly great army on the power of our words. On the power of our obedience. On the power of his Spirit. And so if you, would you just lift your hands to the Lord? If you are willing to take this message and say, Lord, I am willing to be one that will speak hard truths. I will not shy away. Even if I offend, even if I lose people, even if equipping the people that you have put around me with the strong truths of God, I will prophesy the word of the Lord. Because it's the power of the word that cuts, that convicts, that transforms. The Lord is not looking for a lukewarm army or an army without any gear. The Lord showed me a picture of an army rushing down onto a battlefield. And when they got down there, they began to look around because they didn't have a sword. They didn't have a weapon. But in Ephesians, it tells us that the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And the word that it uses there for word is rhema. It's the spoken word of God. That's the sword in the Spirit. So Holy Spirit, first forgive us, God. Forgive me, Lord, where I have shied away out of fear of man. From standing and speaking forth your word. Forgive me, God, where I have fallen short. And I've allowed outside forces to determine my obedience to you. But God, today may I take up that mantle of Elijah to speak forth the word of the Lord. To see a reconciliation of the hearts of fathers to the children and children to the fathers. God, would we take forth the same word that you commanded Ezekiel to prophesy? And with complete assurance, God, would we speak forth the words that you have commanded us to? May we follow through in our action and our deed. By this, we will know that we love the children of God. We follow his commandments. God, to love well, we have to speak well in truth. Let truth come out of our mouths, God, like a sword in the Spirit. where it pierces through the darkness that is holding souls captive, where it is speaking through the deception. Would we not be afraid to expose areas of deception when it is shown to us? And when our hearts be tender and open, Lord, so that we are not deceived ourselves, but that we can receive from your Spirit that keeps our feet from the snares of the enemy. Lord, I hold up your word today as a prophetic proclamation of the word of the Lord. Receive the word of the Lord. O breath of God, would you come and breathe your spirit into what is dead? Would you come and breathe your spirit into the dry and the barren land? Would righteousness and salvation begin to bring forth life out of the ground of this territory? Would we as the body of Christ step into our God-given authority? Not intimidation. Get us back, God, to the teaching of sin. Help us, Lord, to equip the army of God to stand in the days ahead and not be deceived. Where a spirit of deception has swept in, and it says in the last day, many will be deceived. But would we take up the mandate that says, not on my watch, my people will not. And it won't be because I held back. It won't be because I refused to say the truth. It won't be because they can say, well, I didn't know, nobody told me. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Come into our services. Come into our building. Come into our messages. Where we have tolerated sin in the pulpits in this area, God, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord. Where we've tolerated it because ministry became the goal. Where we've cared more about giftings than we have intimacy. Where we've cared more about the gifting than we have a person's heart before you, God, forgive us. Rearrange our priorities, God. We recognize where we need a rearranging of priorities. Rearrange it, God. Jesus' name.